Well, this Fortune 500 COO was living in an abusive marriage and nobody knew. Not her family, not the small community she lived in, and not her colleagues. No one knew. Would she let that stop her? We'll find out today on The Bravehearted Woman. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts. It's Dawn Damon, Braveheart mentor and vision architect. And this is the Bravehearted Woman podcast. Here we talk all things mindset, health, goals, dreams, and habits for midlife women so we can design the second half of life as the best half of life. I know how scary it can be to arrive at midlife and find yourself stuck and unfulfilled. It's difficult to take brave steps that lead to transformation, but I've done it and you can too. Now I'm here to help you ignite the flame of your imagination so you can see what's possible. You can reach your goals and achieve all your dreams. Are you ready? Come on, let's get brave. Hey, beautiful Bravehearts, it's your girl Dawn Damon. Good to be with you again today. My guest today is a fractional COO, a business strategist, and an advocate for high-performing women in business. She's a seasoned business strategist, podcast host and speaker, transformation leader, and the founder of On-Call COO, empowering female entrepreneurs, helping them and other women design the lives that they want to live, lives that they love, while achieving balance and success. She's a strong voice for domestic violence awareness and family court reform. Please welcome to the show today our guest, Melissa Franks. Hello, Melissa.
Hello. It's so great to be here with you today.
Thank you for taking your time to stop by and greet all of our Bravehearted women. Melissa, you know, I'm reading your story and I'm like, you were and are a Fortune 500 COO, and yet you're experiencing a secret life, abuse in your marriage. You're trying to keep all of it together. Talk to us about a little bit about your story.
I think that my story is a common one. It just so happens that maybe I have a little bit more professional success than the average woman, frankly, especially inside of financial services or the technology sector, which is where I was. I was in the top 1%. You know, there weren't many of us there. And really what it was is it was a story of living two lives. Now a few years kind of, you know, beyond when everybody became very aware of what was happening inside of my house, I was able to really craft two identities. And one of them was my professional identity and who she was and how she moved through the world and how she communicated. And there was the identity that I had at home, which was much more around preserving safety for myself and my children and trying to the best of my ability to make smart decisions on the fly so that until there was a point in time where maybe we could make an exit or do some other things, that I kept the facade up on the professional side. And, you know, it was a decade of cultivating those two lives, and you get really good at having multiple versions of yourself.
Yes. It's so interesting you're saying all this too, because I mean, I identify with that. I had a professional life and then I had this life over here that quite honestly, I was trying to keep all the balls under the water because I knew if something popped up, it was all going to go and the exposure was going to happen. And as it ended, it was very public and there was exposure. You experienced that. You said in 2023, your ex-husband was arrested for domestic violence. Mm-hmm. I mean, your business that you were running started to fail. You were faced with financial issues. I mean, this thing really unraveled for you.
Yeah, I think that, you know, regardless of, you know, what you believe in, whether you're a universe person or a God person or something in between, there's always a reckoning day to mm-hmm. a certain point. And you can only juggle so much for so long. And that's really what happened in July of 2023. I had already made decisions professionally, understanding that I needed to, in order to change my personal circumstances, I also needed to change my professional circumstances. So I had joined a startup where I knew that I would have better earning potential, which would then enable us, because even as a Fortune 500 COO, if you have another person spending the money faster than it's coming in, it doesn't really matter how much money is coming in. So I was really making moves in intentionally to plan an exit, to kind of eliminate this double life situation. And then as things happen, it was done for me. And that arrest really triggered a cascade of activities. You know, he was arrested in July of 2023. I ended up in a family court system I had no context for. I'd never even been in a courtroom. I had only ever talked to corporate lawyers. Like, I had no idea what I was doing. And then the startup I was working for failed in October. And all of a sudden, I was a single mom in court literally every week, really fighting for the safety and security of the kids. I had no income and I had no plan. And for somebody who had spent decades, you know, plotting a course and following it along and eventually getting the professional success and all of the things, that moment in October of 2023 was really humbling and also was a pivotal point because I could either give up and move in with my parents and just kind of, you know, lay down and die, or I could fight. And I fought my way out of it.
Yeah, well done. And, you know, like you said at the very beginning, my story is a common one. I have been recording podcasts here now this week, getting my fall season together, and like yourself, have had so many incredible, beautiful, wonderful women who are gifted and articulate and doing the things. And then over here, they have this other life of domestic violence and abuse and cancer and infertility, all of these other things. And so you decided, I'm not going to let this crush me. How did you navigate, you know, all that public scrutiny?
So I live in a small town for which I grew up, and everybody's business is everybody's business.
Yeah. It's God bless the small towns.
But I'm also a pretty tough cookie, you know? So for a long time, everybody knew, oh, she's that one that has that big job and travels around the globe. And, you know, there was enough healthy distance that as much of the talk and the noise and the things that were going on, I really focused around what's the lived experience that my children are having day in and day out, and how do we protect and preserve that? And whatever is going to come at me as an adult, let it, you know, even creepy people sending me crazy texts and having to get the police involved because they were just trying to fish information. As long as that didn't impact my children, and as long as they could have a better life after than they did before the pivotal incident, nothing else really mattered to me. And what I really came to realize very rapidly, I think this is because I was doing a lot of personal development, trying to figure out how to get out of my circumstance, is that I couldn't spend time wallowing in decisions that literally my 20-year-old self made. I mean, if anybody thinks about themselves as at 20, you know, I had no business choosing a life partner. I had no, you know, like a lot of the things that I was 10 toes down and fighting on. I didn't know any better. I was 20 years old. I was 21 years old.
Right.
And I had to just say, you know what? You know, she did the best that she could with what she had, and I'm going to do the best that I can with what I have now as a 45-year-old. And and that's what I did. And so with the community at large, it was really a, if you want to ask me a question, I'll give you an honest answer. And that's probably going to make you more uncomfortable than it's going to make me. And it usually did.
Yeah. And, you know, what a great reframe, because really, you know, we live our lives. We think, you know, we're trying to keep everybody happy or keep this veneer up or whatever it is. And there was a book that I read once where the guy said, why are we people pleasing? They're not coming to your funeral. 80% of these people, and if they do come, they're not crying. So we spend our whole life trying to make a bunch of people happy. Like, you know what? Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I love that you now have a voice. Tell me a little bit about that for domestic violence, and you're in the courts a little bit. God bless you, you know, too, for protecting the children. What does that look like for you today?
Yeah, so it's tricky. I joke because what else can we do that, you know, I'm going to be the Brad and Angelina of Northern California because we are well over 2 years in and have not really resolved anything. So it's not a fast process. It's not a cheap process. But what I will say is that because I'm in the midst of it, I can't talk about details of the case. What I can talk about is my experience within it. And I have had a lot of challenges. I have a restraining order in place, and I've had a lot of challenges with law enforcement, the district attorney's office, you know, these officials that are supposed to protect us. And what I realized is that we really actually need to be our own advocates. And so a lot of what I share is education. I had no idea what the definition of domestic violence was before I had a lawyer that could tell me. And gosh darn it, if I had known, I probably would have left a decade before I did, because it's not as severe as one thinks. And so a lot of what I do in the space now is I just share information because I think that I'm not the only one. I'm also very public with my story because the more successful women become, the harder it is for them to be vulnerable and ask for help. And you really kind of protect the farce and the narrative. So I know I'm not the only Fortune 500 female executive that is living a life like that. I know that I'm not the only other professional executive out in the workforce whose home life was exactly the same, if not worse. And so I really want to advocate for those stories to be able to come forward, because what we hear often about domestic violence is it's, you know, the woman that's trapped, that has no money, that's a stay-at-home mom. And it's more faceted than that. And if I can speak up and really share that, then I think it gives encourage bravery with others to also do the same.
Yeah, that's really excellent point, because we think of domestic violence as the woman who's being beaten to a pulp and she has to escape with just the clothes on her back. And as you point out, violence or domestic abuse is so multifaceted. It can be just simply hiding money from you and not giving you access to funds, or the gaslighting that, you know, we talk about. But there is a lot of that. And I think that my marriage touched on that as well. Had I known the full extent of what it meant, like you're saying, you know, I would have said, oh, this is not a good environment. This is, as we say, toxic. Cliches are cliches because they're true, right? But those words describe it. How did you start over? How did you start your next business?
So I think that part of my career, because I was the only woman, I was really like, I was climbing a ladder that wasn't meant for me. I had to adopt this perspective that other people's opinions really don't matter to me. And in fact, they did not. I got to a place where you could literally say whatever you wanted to my face or behind my back. And I'm like, oh, that's all right. It's not true or whatever. And so it gave me a good amount of courage and bravery to just keep moving. And I really focused around what's the next right step. So literally sat in this office in a different chair in a different part on October 16th, and I just found out my job didn't exist and he wasn't going to honor the severance package. And so I emailed an employment lawyer. And then my next phone call was to a friend that had said she needed help with her business, like just the week prior. And I'm like, hey, I've got some free time on my hands. What would that look like? And she ended up being my first client. And then so that was the next right move. Okay, I've got a little bit of income, filed for unemployment, you know, did all the things. And as things progressed, you know, things got worse before they got better. I was tapping into my network, trying to find jobs. I never intended to own my own business. I wanted to go back to work. But what I realized, and as I had said earlier, the best thing for the kids was for me to be here and be present and ensure they were safe and that things were stable and consistent. And so that meant I couldn't go get another huge, high-powered job because I'd be on the road all of the time. And so I had to rewrite our narrative. I spent a little bit of time on government assistance. So, you know, we can talk about SNAP benefits and the Medi-Cal and all of those things. But it was really the process of me regrouping and getting to a place where I could say that one first client has now turned into a business that has a team of five and 12 clients. And, you know, as well, it's achieved seven figures in the first 2 years. And so, and that's really all comes down to what's the next right move? What step can I take today? How can I show up and just move the needle? And then eventually the momentum carried itself.
Yeah, beautiful. And isn't that the way out of any situation? Just take the next right step, the next right, do it afraid, but keep moving forward. Martin Luther Jr. said, if you have to crawl, crawl, but by all means, keep moving forward. Yeah. I'm curious, do you wish you would have known then what you know now? Any of those things?
I think that before I wasn't ready in a variety of ways to be living the life that I'm living. So the business is growing, you know, rapidly, which is fantastic because what I actually am an expert in is growing businesses. So it's good that I can practice what I preach, but this would have never been possible if I was still inside of my marriage. That I know with beyond a shadow of a doubt. So I think that I had to evolve to the place that I was when all the changes happened in order to make this next thing possible. Because as much as I was confident professionally, I think that especially in the community that I live in and just kind of how we grew up, like success was being married. Success was having, you know, a bunch of children. Success was being heavily involved in the community. And so even though it was a farce, letting go of that, I needed to be in a space where it didn't really matter because I had my own definition of success and I was achieving it every day.
Yeah, you know, you're saying that, and I'm thinking, you know, we love our comfort. Our brains love comfort. Even if our comfort is dysfunctional comfort, it's still what we know. And it is scary to face. I went through a divorce after 28 years of marriage, and I was in this place of the unknown, and I was so afraid. And yet, had I known that transition, that painful transition would have brought me into the place that I am today, I would have taken it much sooner. And that's not always everyone's story. And yet at the same time, we have to trust and believe that, you know, God's got better on the other side of this. How did you fast track your success? Because, I mean, you have grown fast and exponentially. Is there some secrets you can tell us?
It's getting in the right rooms with the right people, really, is what it comes down to. Within days of not having a job and like helping a friend and doing all the things, I had an opportunity to join a mastermind. And the reason that I did, it made no economic sense. It was actually a fool's errand to spend that money on that, especially based on just where things were headed. And I knew it at the time, but I knew also that even if it was going to be temporary, creating income for myself, I needed to have skills I didn't have. And I needed to have connections that were not inside of my corporate network. And I joined that group primarily because I'm like, there's probably one thing that can come out of this. And if it does, it's worth it. And it so happened that that one thing was a one person. And in March of 2024, I met her. And she's a paid advertising expert. And she said one thing to me, literally one sentence to me that absolutely changed everything. And once I learned how to acquire the skills that she was teaching and put them into practical application, the business grew like nothing else. And so my advice to anybody really is if you're looking to make a change, what you need to also be looking at is who you're surrounding yourself with. And go find the rooms, even if you don't know anybody, even if you think that you don't belong, even if you think like I did, it was a fool's errand. And then you really keep your eye out for that one thing. It will pay itself in dividends if you make the brave choice to get yourself into an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah. So good. Getting in the environment, getting in other circles. We know that. We hear that. And yet, so seldom are we willing to take that risk, dive in there. Whoa, I don't know anybody. And what if I don't fit in? And all of the things that can be whispering in our ear. And you did it. Well done. What's next for you, Melissa? Where are you going next, girl?
That's a good question. I mean, we're going to keep growing the business, you know, so the sky's the limit. The mission of the business is to really help female entrepreneurs be more successful, however they define success. I selfishly want women to own more of the entrepreneurial pie. I just want to see us, you know, carve out. And the best way that I can impact that is by bringing the skills that we have to market. Interestingly enough, the team that I have collected, if the women that incredibly smart women that are working for me now had a similar story where they were unemployed and they had been applying for jobs and, you know, couldn't find another C-suite position. And so now they're servicing clients within the on-call COO umbrella, and they've been able to get their power back and really take their gifts and bring them out into the world. So the goal is to keep growing the business. It's to help more businesses. We're very lucky. We've touched every industry. So you name it, we can do it. And that's a little bit fun because every hour is a different hour sometimes. You know, and my kids are teenagers, so it's soaking up those last few years that they're in the nest, and it's rediscovering or discovering who I actually am. You know, that's kind of a side project.
Very cool. So the founder of OnCall COO, very cool name, brilliant concept.
Thank you.
So great. Congratulations on that. What if women want to get a hold of you? Is there a special place we can find you?
Yeah, I mean, they can either come chat with me on Instagram, which is just my name, so Melissa underscore Franks, or they can go to melissafranks.com and schedule a call if they have some business things that they want to discuss.
All right, so to schedule that call, we'll make sure we put that address in our show notes. You're also a podcaster. I listen to some of your things. Great. And so they can listen, they can glean from you there as well. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, that podcast has been around. It will be, I think 3 years in, or two, so 2 or 3 years, I can't remember now, in December. And we kind of run all of the gamut of topics around what we talk about. Sometimes it's current events and business, and sometimes it's just really sound advice.
Yes. Hey, one last question before I let you. I was really wrapping it up, but I got one last question for you. When you were little, growing up, did you ever picture this for yourself? Did you know you were a maven of business?
No. So I went to college to be an English teacher, a high school
Okay.
English teacher to be specific. I had some friends towards the end of college that started student teaching in a high school, and it was such a dumpster fire that literally my sister had to step in because she was a high school senior at the time and bring law and order to the classroom. So I took that off the list immediately. When I was very tiny, I wanted to be a lawyer. And the only reason I wanted to be a lawyer is because I wanted to wear a suit and go to an office.
Oh.
There was no other thinking aside from that. But if you had told me even, when I was in college, you're going to end up in the technology sector. I hated science and math, so that would have been weird. And you're going to run big businesses and eventually have your own, I would have laughed you out of the room. I'm like, no. I like to read and analyze text, and maybe I'll go work for a publisher. This was definitely not the plan, but I've loved every minute of it, and it definitely was the right plan in the end.
Yes, beautiful. Well, thank you so much for coming on. And for all of you listening, what a great testimony of saying, don't hem yourself in. Get rid of those limiting beliefs. Who knows what is yet ahead of you? We hear that 70 is the most significant season of a woman's life. How can that be? Well, there are still things inside of you that you may not know of, an unreasonable dream. So I just ask for you to think about as you hear this today, what might be ahead of you? Are you willing to believe big, dare to dream, and do it afraid? This is Dawn Damon, your Braveheart mentor. Hey, I'm gonna leave you like I always do. Is this your moment? Find your brave and live your dreams. Hey, thanks for hanging out with me today and igniting your brave. Trust me, you'll never be the same. Now, for my free gift, make sure you click the link in our show notes. And to find out more about me, my books, or my amazing coaching course, visit braveheartedwoman.com. If you found help in this podcast, please like it, follow, and review me. It helps get the word out and up those algorithms so more amazing Bravehearts can find this message. You can also share it on your social media platforms or with someone you know who can really benefit. You can find my latest book, The Making of a Bravehearted Woman, Courage, Confidence, and Vision in Midlife, on Amazon and all the usual suspects. All right, this is Dawn Damon, as always, saying, find your brave and live your dreams.